Well, it seems like the first week of football season is never dull, and that's especially true this year. I mean, this feels like one of the best ones. We have a lot to talk about today on Prep Sports Now. We've got Ray Brewer alongside me, Case Kiefer, on the show, previewing week two, looking back to week one. As I said, a lot of exciting things happened. I think maybe the most exciting Saturday night, Brewer, you were there. Liberty just destroys Saguaro from Arizona. I know there's some like revisionism going on now, like, oh, this isn't their best year, that Liberty had a better team, but this is still a power program from Arizona. I think we said that Liberty needed to win at least one of these national games to kind of maintain their relevance. I think they've already done that. Big win for Liberty. Can't say enough. Shout out to them once again, as we seem like we do year after year on this show.
Yeah, in fact, all three Las Vegas teams in those marquee national games, I think, really impressed and represented for the area. Liberty, they upset Saguaro. I say upset because Max Preps had Saguaro rated higher than Liberty. So Liberty not only beats them, they had a running clock in the fourth quarter. So shout out to the Patriots defense. I think we talk a lot about Kenyon Oblad. He's going to set the state passing record. He's going to pass for more than 10,000 yards. Kenyon Oblad this, Kenyon Oblad that. And that defense is awesome. They return 8 of 11 starters. Krishan Lappin is a force. They were in the backfield all night. Number 44, Luke Tamatayo, made every tackle from linebacker. He's the real deal. And the Faseo brothers each had a touchdown, pick six for the junior, Austin, and a scoop and score for his brother, whose name I'll never be able to pronunciate. Who's the best player they have on the team as a freshman. Zyrus, my guy, the real deal, number 30, long hair, scoop and score, first game on varsity, touchdown.
Freshman?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's going to play like at, you know, Bama or Florida State or wherever it is. UNLV's already offered the kid. So shout out to Liberty, who's now 21st in the nation, according to Max Preps, on the way to Florida to play American Heritage. But shout out to Gorman, down 10-0, 54-game winning streak on the line, ESPN Friday night, and they take the punch of DeMatha, who was big and physical, Case. I mean, big boys up front, and they were able to get the W. And shout out to Faith Lutheran, who went to Colorado, leading at halftime against Valor Christian, fumble on the goal line, little safety snap into the end zone, or they may have got a dub as well. So those guys balled out, represented, as did my Green Valley Gators.
42-35 over El Toro.
Yeah, a little A.J. Barillo touchdown pass with the minute to go to get the dub for the Gators, who I think are going to be able to score on anybody. Don't know about stopping folks, but good day for high school football. You weren't involved in this conversation at all, CK.
Uh-huh.
But Gorman's uniforms, did you see the photos at all?
Unfortunately.
There's not one person I talked to who liked those uniforms. Like,
okay, I swear I haven't talked to anyone. I don't know. I just saw the photo and I was like, those are horrible. No offense to Gorman. I'm not like a Gorman hater. I'm not booing Gorman when they're playing out of state opponents. I think it's a privilege for those kids to have like all their different uniforms. Mm-hmm. And I think for the most part, they always look super sharp. This might have been the first of like 15 uniforms they wore that was like, if I went to my locker and that was there, I would be like, ugh.
Yeah,
I have
where's
to wear
the
this.
Gray in this cool color scheme? Right, so people are like, oh, it's because of the Raiders, yada yada yada.
I hate the Gales on the back too.
Yeah, it just
can't go for it.
Yeah, but so everybody I talk to, they're texting me not how Gorman played but about the uniforms. My cousin in West Virginia is texting me. People I know are texting me. I talked to only one guy who liked the uniforms, and I'll mention the guy's name, Todd Ferranda. He's the Liberty baseball coach. I see him on Saturday. The guy runs the barbecue.
Well, they
right?
looked more like baseball uniforms.
And he's
like, go.
And he's a Gorman grad, but he's like, bro, I love those uniforms. And I'm like, you're literally the only one in town, for whatever it's worth. Just breaking down, we'll break down the Gorman game real fast because I was there. First time in Gorman history, Sanchez history, where they haven't been able to get in the power eye and line up and run the rock. They only rush for like 63 or 4 yards. To Gorman's credit, they obviously found a way to win. DTR, after a shaky series or two, turned in a great performance. He rushed for 2 touchdowns, threw for 3. Everything's good, but they couldn't run the rock. It was the first time Gorman just couldn't get in its power and plow ahead and run the ball, but they won. So all credit to them. Faith Lutheran, CK, the quarterback.
Sagan Gronauer, sorry.
My guy.
You're teeing me up.
Right?
Yeah.
Almost passed for four Bills, completed 30-some passes. Elijah Cody, 11 catches, 100-plus yards. Spiller out of the backfield, caught a lot of balls, rushed for a little bit. That Faith Lutheran offense rolling and running and gunning and slinging, ready to roll. Now, are they – they're a legit top four team, just like the Arborview Aggies.
Who also threw the ball around a little bit.
Bollinger Jr., little Bollinger, replaced his brother. He threw for a few touchdowns. And if you add up the scores, and I didn't do this yet, but of the – Vegas freshman versus Arborview freshman, Vegas JV versus the Arborview JV, and Vegas varsity versus the Arborview varsity, I think you got a final of like 180-6.
Whew, how times change. Even when I got here, I mean, Vegas was still a power and Arborview was on the way up. I will say Arborview, I do think Logan Bollinger took most of the snaps, but Coach Barnson said they are using two quarterbacks for the time being. Dylan Cohen also playing, and he had one for one, 35-yard touchdown. And Arborview was fired up because they, I think a lot of people figured they would go back to not to just kind of running their system, not throwing as much anymore now that Hayden Bollinger has come and gone. But it seems like they're going to throw the ball just as much as they have the last couple years. So, you know, it excites me, all those things you just said, how Gorman threw the ball so well. Like Gorman, I mean, to win like that, they averaged less than 3 yards per carry. If you've listened to me on here before, you will know that I think running the ball is very overrated if you can throw. So I'm happy to see Gorman against a national opponent is able to do that. And Faith Lutheran, I didn't even see those numbers till you said it. I mean, that's very impressive what Gronauer did. I know you mentioned it a little bit. I didn't see this game either. Faith, by the way, rushed for less than 50 yards too. Again, if you can throw the ball. The only time you really need to run is to run out the clock at the end of the game. But anyway, Faith, there was some controversy with that safety call. I don't want to get into it. I don't know the exact specifics. But seems like they were right there. And I think, you know, I know it's the cliche, no one will ever take a moral victory, and that's fair. Of course, they wanted to win this game. But Valor Christian's a good program from Colorado. And I think you look at Faith's scores against programs like this, they've just gotten better and better. And it's a testament to the way the program's building up to be one of those powers in town.
Yeah. So we've learned that if you look at our preseason top 10, Gorman, obviously, Liberty, obviously, Faith has kind of solidified itself as top five. Arborview, the real deal. Listen, if Arbor and Liberty play tomorrow, which they're not going to play this year,
we do this every year. Our annual discussion coming
good,
early this year.
Wouldn't it be a good game? It'd be a great game.
Yeah,
right?
No, I'm not calling you out. I'm just saying it's funny.
Would
we
Arbor
always
beat Liberty?
Two.
Could they if they play 10 times?
If they play 10 times, yeah. I'm picking Liberty in the game. But
I'm
if they
picking
play 10
Liberty
times,
too.
Yeah.
But does Arbor deserve a crack at this Max Preps 100 at least?
I mean, yeah, they might. They very well might. I think the nature of
the Max Preps rankings is you have to play somebody out of town.
So probably not fair to them, but, I mean, Arbor deserves all the superlatives thrown around. I mean, it's amazing what they've done. And
Could I bring up one other point? I don't want to cut you off.
Go ahead. No.
You were going to switch topics, and I wanted to ask this question.
No, I was going to give a shout-out to – we knew these guys were going to dominate, but both Jaquari Haney and Diego Stubbs had, like, 8 carries and averaged, like, 15 yards a carry or something. So pretty impressive, those two kids.
And then while we're on that, Shadow – put a can of whoop on Dio, which we could have predicted. We did predict. Mm-hmm. But they scored on the first play of the first game for the second straight year.
Oh, wow.
First play, first game, Elijah Young to the house, back-to-back years. Pretty good, right?
Not bad.
Right?
The game that I was at, now you don't want to switch gears, but just do a quick, just since it goes with that, it was a smooth transition before I announced it. First play of the game for Foothill, 70-yard touchdown for Isaac Oliva. I don't know if I'm saying his name right. Yeah, whatever. Foothill was very impressive. We'll talk about more now but in a second. But it sounded like you had one more point you wanted to make.
Okay, somebody had texted me or it tweeted at me or I can't remember how I got the details. But they were like, you talk about all these teams playing national opponents, right? Faith, Gorman, Liberty. Mm-hmm. Are they better for it? Are they better suited than maybe Arborview, who this year doesn't have any of those games? Because you could argue that, okay – Arborview, the last two seasons, score-wise, 27-10-15, and a really darn good competitive first half last year against Gorman, have played better against Gorman than maybe Liberty, 84-8. And so we talk about some of the bonuses of going out of town, right? You get the bond as a team. If you have to play in Reno in the playoffs, you're travel tested. And then you're just getting a quality opponent and on the national stage. But you're getting back at odd hours. You're prepped for the next week. Like Desert Pines, they went down to California. They played Bishop Diego, lost 9-0, right?
Right.
Now you got to take a bus back. You're getting back in an odd hour. You got to start prepping for the next week. And you got the jet lag, the tiredness. You're gonna feel it the next week. Is Liberty better off for playing out of town? Is Gorman better off for playing out of town? Well, yeah, of course, in my opinion. But can you make the argument that it's not the only way to get to the end nut? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're better off. I guess
you played football, I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, though. I think they're better. I mean, whenever you're in a game with that high of competition, your team is just inevitably going to grow and learn things about itself and be put in some situations that they're not going to be if you're playing a team that you're just going to stomp. I think that's just the fact of the matter. So I think we're in agreement there. I think it's for the better.
Okay.
But that being said,
worth talking about, though.
Yeah, worth talking about. And that being said, there's a lot of games locally. I think there's – I think there's more programs that are evenly matched in the early season, the non-league play, than maybe there were a few years ago. I mean, I can remember some years where we pretty much thought we had a good handle on week one. We disagreed on quite a few games last week, and some of them turned out to be worth up to the hype, excuse me. I mean, Durango and Pahrump Valley was a really good game. Looking over the scores here real quick,
of course, I sold myself down the river. I picked Bonanza over Shap.
Yeah, Shap Bonanza was a good game.
My mighty Cowboys right up.
I honestly picked Bonanza, too, because of you were so high on them. You had really sold me on them. I might have picked Bonanza otherwise.
Yeah, pull up that gamer. That kid from Shap balled out. He had like three picks and something else. He deserves a little recognition.
While I'm getting that up, some other close scores. Moapa Sunrise, 13-12. Came down to a two-point conversion. I'm feeling better about my proclamation that Sunrise is going to be a force to be reckoned with this week, this year. I think they're going to be the second-place team. Moapa's another team that struggled to run the ball but threw the ball very easily. Daxton Longman had a really good debut, and that was about all that went right for them and what they said was a very sloppy game.
Yeah, early on, first week, you're going to see a lot of errors. Shout-out to the Panthers over at Palo. I might have predicted them a little too low and maybe Vista a little too high, but Palo with a double-digit stomping, no doubt in question. A great game by a few kids over there. So shout-out to PV Nation, who this week plays the Foothill Falcons in what should be a good game.
Yeah, Tyre Collins, the kid I think he wanted to shout-out.
Yeah, baby.
From
Cowboys.
Yeah, I got to say, of all these games that we thought were going to be close, probably the two most impressive performances were Palo Verde and Foothill, and both, I think, more on the defensive end. Palo Verde, I think, had two defensive touchdowns, really totally shut out. Sierra Vista scored 7 points, but I think it was early in the game, and then they couldn't really move the ball at all. So I think that Palo Verde defense, we talked about some question marks at their offense. Maybe they don't have the offense they once had, but it could be the defense that pulls the Panthers together this year. That was impressive by them. But that being said, I think they were a little overshadowed by this week's opponent. Foothill shuts out Centennial, who I think we at least expected Centennial to be able to score some points. For Foothill to go out there and start the season with a 26-0 victory, and honestly, it felt like even more. I mean, the game ended with Foothill at the goal line. They couldn't punch it in one more time. Really dominant performance from the Falcons, and I was very impressed by them. I think they are better than we gave them credit for going into the season, which seems like it happens very often. But they're
and there is we talked about how young Centennial is, right?
Right.
Foothill's pretty young too.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of sophomores and stuff. And here's the thing that might have stood out to me the most about Foothills. I think we might have gotten into this argument the last couple of years. I think you always say Foothills not fast, they're slow, right?
I say any team in Henderson is slow.
Okay, well, you could maybe convince me of that. Like, on offense, they're going to be more bruising. But the sophomore quarterback, Coy Riggin, was great. But maybe just getting some receivers the ball. But I got to tell you, the thing that impressed me the most about Foothill in this first game and why I think they might have a chance to cause some havoc in the Southeast is their secondary is not slow at all. They have some kids that – I mean, Centennial, you could tell the quarterback had some talent. I know Vladimir Plotnikov, there was some excitement for him coming in. He has a really good arm. He made some decent throws. But I got to tell you, none of their receivers could get open. I was very impressed by Foothills. I'm telling you, though, I don't think you should sell some of these kids like – Jordan Blakely, Titus Lowe. I know there's a couple other guys' names I wrote down and have in front of me. Don't sell those kids short because they stuck to these receivers and they are quick. They're not slow Foothill like you think.
So I think in the Southeast, Liberty, GV, Basic, Foothill are our four playoff teams.
I'm almost certain of that right now. And that being said, as impressed as I was with the secondary, it might be a little bit different when you're going up against like these big-time receivers at Liberty. I didn't even realize Marquez Powell was back for another year, and he scored a, and I mean, Green Valley and Basic are going to have high-powered passing. So I'm not saying Foothills, no one's going to throw on them, but I'm saying these kids, they're small, but they're fast, and it seems like they're determined. I think that their secondary is going to be a little bit tougher to score on than you might think.
I think Marquez Powell kid, like, we've talked for 2 years. When you talk about Liberty football, you talk about Oblad throwing the rock. You talk about Dado and Akihito. Now that they're graduated, I can get their last names perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they each had, like, what, 60 receptions, 1,000 yards, handpicked the amount of touchdowns. Marquez Powell, the guy who's had these offers since his sophomore year, was kind of in the shadow. Maybe even, I hate to use the word on a kid, but maybe didn't live up to expectations, right? That kid has got a chance to be really good. He's tall. He could go up to get the ball, and you know he's going to get the rock because eventually they're going to have to throw it, and he's their best receiver. In fact, some of the other guys are unproven, and we saw some drops, a case of the droppies. So Marquez Powell has a chance to be first-team All-State. He has a chance to go on to play college football, which we know, and he's a chance to be really, really good. He's got to work on his speed, his route running, and catching the ball, but he's going to get a lot of chances. And it reminds me, do you remember 2 years ago Green Valley had a receiver, a kid had committed to San Diego State?
Yeah, I don't remember the kid's name, but I know who you're talking
about. I
can't
remember it either. He was a guy who early on wasn't Macklin, Isaiah Macklin.
Yeah.
Early on wasn't the guy, and he became the guy by the end. I think that this kid, Powell, has a chance to really be the dude. He's got all the tools physically. Boy, the Southeast is going to be fun because my quarterback over at Basic, he ate, bro.
Yeah.
He ate against
Chi-Town. I'm telling you, Foothill sophomores, no one to sleep on either.
Yeah.
Really good. He had an interception, but it really wasn't even his fault. A great tip
battle
ball.
For Boulder Highway is going to be lit this year.
Yeah, I mean, if only we should point out, Coronado did lose to Cimarron. 30-23 at Legacy.
Shout out to my guy, Corey Walker, getting those kids ready. Greg Trimble Jr.
Yeah.
Big game for the Spartans.
And Legacy just totally destroyed Silverado, who we thought was kind of a wild card coming into the year. But so I still think maybe the Northwest is the deepest, despite Centennial not being.
Yeah, because now if Palo and Cimarron are above average, you've got too many teams, or solid. You've got too many teams for too few spots.
But I think the top four at the Southeast is just tough to compete with. I still think we would both be in agreement that Liberty is just on a different level, and we'd be stunned if they're not the one. But I'm telling you right now, anytime we like think we have it figured out, the 2 through 4 craziness happens. And I really think this year, any of those teams, some will be favored over others, of course, but I think any of those Green Valley, Foothill, Basic, any scenario could happen. They can all beat each other.
I mean, right now, without seeing Green, knowing what I know about Green Valley's defense, I still think they outscore Basic and Foothill. Right now, today, gun to my head, one sample size game.
God, that is the one that got away from me in week one. As I'm telling you, I was sitting there just about to pick Green Valley. I think I even wrote it in the picks. and I ended up going with El Toro. I knew Green Valley was going to be better. That's the one I regret the most.
Speaking
so.
Of, like, I tell you what, I took a rash of you-know-what from Arborview Nation.
Yeah, they weren't happy with you.
I
think you had it 30-28, and it was 56-7, running clock in like 12, 14 minutes, something like that.
I expected more from the kitty cats. I expected more from the kitty cats, CK.
Yeah, kind of looking like a down year for Vegas, but in that division, they should be have their chances to
I mean, Canyon lost, too. I mean, that's the pretty ugly Sisters of the Poor League over there.
Yeah, Canyon went to St. Augustine, California,
Didn't go well.
Didn't go very well, yeah. But that's okay. Any other things we missed? Anything else to point out at week one, or should we jump into
Did we
into
talk about
week two
that
picks?
Big dub by the orange and black? Sure. Cowboys!
We did talk about it. We gave the tirade kid a shout-out.
Don't sleep on Neo, bro. He's getting those kids ready to roll. I told somebody right now, game day, Neapoli has such a feel for the flow of the game. You know what I'm saying?
He knows. Clearly has some things. He's doing it every year.
Back-to-back semis for Chaparral, bro.
Pretty impressive. I got to give him his due.
You forgot to shout out? Tyler Tuiasapopo.
Oh, yeah. How do we forget that? Western.
Did you see those kids crying, bro? On Jesse Granger's pictures?
Yeah.
I mean, shout out to those kids getting a dub after all those years. And just the fact that they got so excited shows me that they're so bought in and they care. I'm always one of these guys, and we've disagreed about this before, but like nothing aggravates me more than kids that cry after they lose, like in a playoff game. And I get it. You're bought in. It means a lot to you, and it's the natural emotion, right? But why cry over football, a game that you love? But to see these
kids. Because you're never going to play again.
I get it. I get the narrative. I get it. But to see these Western kids get so excited, I mean, what a moment. I mean, this Tuiasapopo guy, and I can't even say his name right, he's coach of the year already.
Tuiasapopo. Like and you think they're going to finish second.
It ain't even September yet, and we got Western season a success. They could lose every game, and they might name a street after the guy. I mean,
I think they have higher expectations than that, and I know you have higher expectations than that, but that doesn't take away from their 21-0 win against Rancho, first win since 2010.
Yeah. In case you were like a junior in high school in 2010.
I was here.
You were here? Okay.
I was doing this podcast with you, okay. In fact.
All right, let's get to the picks, baby.
All right, to the picks. We'll start with I thought I had them up. Maybe I don't. I guess we'll just go to the national games again. Bishop Gorman traveling down to California to take on Mater Dei.
Well, CK, we've all said this is the week the streak ends. KJ Daniels, USC commit, slings it around the yard. Good. Gorman, secondary, work in progress. The only way I see Gorman winning this game is if it becomes a shootout. And DTR, you're not running the ball. So put DTR on the gun. Put Speedy Naylor on the outside. Let him stretch the field. Get Brevin Jordan involved in the short passing game and just turn it into a shootout where maybe you could get the ball to bounce your way. You're going on the road to Cali. There's going to be a lot of people there, and you're facing an offense that just probably is going to be too much for you to stop. We've learned in 55 games not to doubt the Gales, the three-time defending mythical champs, but I think the Cadillac stops here for an oil change. Give me Mater Dei.
This is 1 versus 2 in Max Prep's excellent 25. I don't really get their ranking systems. They have different ones. Mm-hmm. But that being said, did we all really say this is where the streak ends? Because I don't remember saying that. What I do remember saying is that I am not picking against Bishop Gorman until they lose. I think that you saw them kind of sputter, to go back to your car analogy, in the first game, and then they fueled up and were on fire. I think they're going to carry that into Mater Dei. I think they're going to be fired up. I think Dorian Thompson Robinson will be the MVP of this game. I think he's going to really break out. He only had four incompletions in the first game, so not like he didn't break out there, but I think it's going to be even bigger here. And I think Gorman is going to stun us again. They're going to do it again.
I'm picking Gorman. Oh, my God. Let me get $5
to number 56.
Let me get $5.
Well, I
got to
get a point. I know I'm picking the underdog.
That's fine.
Get
you give me a number.
Well, God, I could probably find a real one to to be honest.
Okay, whatever the real number is, I got modern day. You got
Gorman. We'll do the real one.
The real one, whatever it is, offshore. Or,
I will totally agree to that.
Okay, $5. High five, high five. Woo! I just got $5.
Bishop Gorman, for me, I hope they wear better uniforms, though.
Oh, I think they have some of them on Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll check them out while we're picking this next game. Liberty going to the other coast.
Yeah.
To take on American Heritage.
Liberty's leaving Wednesday night, red eye flight. They're getting there Thursday practicing at FAU. Lane Kiffin opening up the vault and letting the Patriots run around there for a little bit. CK, we picked against Liberty when they went to Texas, right?
Yeah.
We picked against that defense. I just don't see them going three time zones and playing a team with speed like that. Right, you got kids going to Florida State, going to the U, baby, right? And knowing what I know about Liberty, it breaks my heart because, golly, they were just two drives to open the game, three and out, had some drops, and then Liberty gets in the power eye, and they're just like, try to stop us, bro, we're nasty. And you know what they did? They just beat a defending state champion from Arizona with a 26-game winning streak with a Division I quarterback and another kid that had a bunch of Pac-12 offers. And they ran away from that kid the whole night and made him a non-factor. And they end up knocking him out of the game. But I just – you know me, Case. I love fast cars. I love the speed of American Heritage. Liberty does not have the speed. And – If this game is here at Liberty, I'd probably pick Liberty. But it's not, and it breaks my heart. I'm going to be rooting for them. Go Patriots, but my money is with American Heritage.
Interesting. I got to agree with most of what you said. Sorry, I got distracted. I had to look up. I know American Heritage is in Plantation, 20 minutes from my mom's house. Maybe we can send her down to do some coverage for us. So yeah, it'll be interesting going down there, but I know, knowing a little bit about Florida high school football, I haven't seen some of these teams over the years, not this year, and just knowing American Heritage's kind of reputation, it's just so hard to pick Liberty, like you said, with all those factors. I know we pick against Liberty all the time in these games, and they've proved us wrong more often than not lately, but I just gotta go with you. I don't see them taking down American Heritage.
Now, let me do some mathematics for you. If Liberty gets the dub and Gorman gets the dub, is Gorman the national champions? Because now they're going to beat...
Well, they still got to win some more games, right?
Yeah, but they get all those games at home. De La Salle, which is a little down this year. Miami Central, which, do the time zone thing.
I mean, they're going to be favorites, but they still got to show out in those games, I feel like.
Okay.
I feel like they still have something.
I thought, going back to that Gorman game, I thought Kenny Sanchez had a great play call. So, first quarter, first drive, they go for it on like fourth and inches. They're tough because they can't run the ball. First play, DeMatha brings it down inside the Gorman 5, and Liberty holds them to a field goal.
You're blowing up.
Yeah. Anyways, go ahead. Let's get the picks.
We're on the picks.
Yeah, let's continue with.
All right. Desert Pines at our review. What do you think?
Oh, my God. DP's in the middle of the train tracks, and they got to get out of the way, bro. So, DP, they got to travel back from Cali. They got to regroup. They didn't score, right? And now they got to go over to Arborview, the 1-by-50 that's still licking its wounds from 44-14 2 years ago. At Arborview, home opener, Arborview gets a lot of people at the game, and Arborview is going to make a statement. It's going to resemble the Liberty DP game from last year. Arbor's going to win big. I got the Aggies, woo, swinging.
Well, last week you upset Aggie Nation.
Oh,
I guess
it.
It's my turn
don't
this week
it,
because I think this game's going to be closer than you expect. I'm not picking against Arborview. I'm picking Arborview to win. But I think that this Bishop Diego team that Desert Pines went to California for, I think they were just kind of at another level. DP's still breaking in a lot of new kids, but those new kids are talented. I feel like they're going to be able – you have them scoring one touchdown. I think they're going to score more than that.
Whoa.
I love Arborview. Think they're way better than any other team in town at number three, but I think this game will be somewhat reasonably close.
Like how reasonable?
I think I'm going to pick Arborview by like 10 to 14.
Ooh.
You don't see it at all? Blowout
Ooh.
City?
When the referee moves his arm in a circle as – like a third base coach rounding a player home, that means just keep the clock running, baby. Go ahead.
Yeah,
next game.
All right. You don't even have a running clock in your pick. Mr. DP now, off the bandwagon.
I'm not off the bandwagon, but I understand the travel aspect, and you're going to play a team that is out to get revenge for arguably its worst loss in 6 years.
All right. We'll see. What would you make the line?
17.5 Aggies. Even more than that. I mean, I'm just trying to get you to bet DP.
Okay. No.
Yeah. I mean, they're gonna roll.
I will be surprised if DP loses by more than three touchdowns. I'll say that. Surprised.
All right.
Okay. Canyon Springs at Cheyenne.
All right. Well, listen, this game's always close. Two teams around the corner from each other. I'd like to think that the Diamante Burton kid, if he was on Cheyenne, I would pick Cheyenne. He's on Canyon. I'm picking the Miners. The Pioneers. Miners. Come on.
It's all right. You caught yourself right away. Cheyenne opened in the first game of the year against Basic. Got beat pretty bad, but put up 28 points. So I think as normal, Cheyenne's going to be able to score. I just got to think Canyon is gonna turn it on here. This is a good opportunity for them. I'm with you and going with Canyon. To another Canyon, Las Vegas traveling to Snow Canyon, who it seems like they've been playing against for a decade. Even when they were at their good moments, Snow Canyon would give them a beat down. I got to think this year it's going to be very ugly.
But Snow Canyon, we agree.
All right. Oh, another. My annual favorite thing, mispronouncing this, Hurricane. If you want to be Hurricane, don't put an E at the
Hurricane.
End. But Hurricane is what they're called. Moapa Valley. Traveling there off of that nail-biter 13-12 win against Sunrise Mountain. I know Moapa's gotten them a couple times. I got to think Hurricane's probably up in the series. And don't know much about them this year, but what do you think?
You know, I think that, you know, this Moapa team, even Moapa, when Moapa was rolling a few years ago, they'd struggle on the road against this opponent. I got to take Utah, even though my heart's with the Pirates.
Yeah,
and the Pittsburgh Pirates all day.
I was trying to call up some info on Hurricane. See, God, they've already played two games, 1-1. Let's see, just got destroyed against a California team, but that's a California team. Beat down a Utah team. Not exactly a ton of information, but I'm gonna have to go with Hurricane here too. I think Moapa Valley will get better as the season goes on, but like you said, this is a game they usually lose. Hard to see it not happening again this year. Bonanza at Durango. Teams coming from opposite perspectives. Durango wins a close game. Bonanza loses a close game in week one.
Yeah, I cannot believe that we're doing league play on September 1st.
Yeah, a little strange.
Yeah, I mean, you got to just go. Remember, this game last year was one of these closely contested affairs. We know that every game in the Southwest, Bonanza, Sierra, Durango, Clark, Spring Valley, they're all going to be the same. I got to take Durango just out of the fact that they found a way to win last week and Bonanza didn't. And I'm higher on Durango going in than I was Bonanza.
I'm going to give them one more chance. I'm going to go Bonanza. Like we said, Shap, I mean, this is a back-to-back semifinal team, so maybe it was asking a little too much of them to win
that
game.
They lost everything. Shap is a shell of itself.
Still, I mean, like you said, Neapoli finds a way to get it done with these kids.
You're right.
So I'm going to say
you're taking Bonanza over Durango.
Is that crazy?
No, it's not.
I'm taking Bonanza. I think it's a close game. I mean, Durango, Perump was up for in a little bit in that
Remember,
game.
Remember, it was in Perump, bro. I've told you, you can't just go up to Perump and get out of the bus and get a dub.
All right,
it's
well,
a totally different dynamic.
Yeah,
up there.
It was a totally different have dynamic 10 been, days ago when you're telling me Dion Lee is the next Jimmy Johnson.
Have you ever been to Perump?
I've never been to Perump.
Bro, you got to get up there. It's like
something worth seeing.
You were in Arkansas for part of your young life.
I was born in Arkansas.
That's
West Memphis, Arkansas.
Memphis right there.
I'll have to check it out. Except Memphis is like 10 minutes from West Memphis. Pahrump's a little bit further from a major city, but still.
Vegas. Just be careful. The road to Pahrump is always narrow.
Fraught with peril. I'll check it out, though. Bonanza for me, Durango for Brewer, Basic at Sierra Vista. Have a feeling we're going to agree on this one. I think Basic is going to continue putting up big points.
Totally agree. Wolfpack are going to score 40-plus every week. It's only a matter of time until they, you know, they retire the light bulbs on somebody's scoreboard.
This game always has a special place in my heart. The first ever Las Vegas high school football game I covered, Centennial and Green Valley, back in 2009. I think I might have covered when they played last year, too, just for a trip down memory lane. And they're redoing their series, which I think is a good one because they're two programs that are usually about in the same spot in their division, just not this year. But Centennial going to Green Valley, I think there are some similarities going into the season with Berea and Plotnikov as far as people being excited with the new quarterback. Berea certainly, or Barilla, I don't know how to say his name. I got to figure it out. I'm sorry. Certainly had a better first showing. And, I mean, after seeing Centennial, I just think they have a long way to go, and I think Green Valley's closer to being where they want to be. I'm going to say Green Valley big in this one.
I totally agree. If you don't score in week one, even with that Green Valley defense giving you a few points, you ain't going to beat the mighty swinging Gators. They're going to roll. Green Valley's going to score. Henderson Bowl, we're going to see 100 points this year. Hundy.
Ooh,
get your calculators
out. That's
up.
Still a bold prediction, even with two great offenses. Did we see 100 last year? It was pretty high scoring.
Not sure.
Be interesting if this is the first 100 in Las Vegas, and if you're predicting, excuse me, the first 100 spot in Henderson Bowl history. So we're both on Green Valley, and I think we're both going to be on Spring Valley, who hosts Plain Valley. Valley. Vikings.
Thank God, Plain Valley is in a world of hurt. Go Spring Valley. They're going to get the dub. Shout out to my guy, the quarterback there. He went ham first game.
Yep, so Spring Valley looking like they have some reasons for optimism this year. El Dorado at Sunrise Mountain. I can't believe your pick on this one.
Hey, bro. Eldo, put up a – I tell you what I was impressed with El Dorado. They put up a decent fight against Spring Valley. They weren't going to win the game, but they fell behind and they didn't stop playing. I think Sunrise is more their speed, and if they're going to get a dub, they're going to get a dub in this game. They're staying on the east side. They're going to have more than one person in the crowd supporting them. I got the Sun Devils, baby.
You want to talk about showing up, and albeit it was in a losing effort, but the kid from Sunrise Mountain just had himself a day in the opener against Moapa. Trayvon Ward, I think he had like almost 150 rushing yards or something, maybe even 200. He returned a kickoff 90 yards. This kid might be one of the better secrets in town. The one thing I worry about with Sunrise Mountain is, like, at our media day, all they were talking about is, like, look at our schedule last year. We had all these close games. We lost all our close games. We couldn't find a way to finish. Then what happens in week one? They're in another close game. They can't finish. They lose by 1 point. I got to think that's a little demoralizing after being the focus of the offseason. But that being said, I've attached myself to Sunrise Mountain. And I think being this high on Sunrise Mountain, I can't pick against them hosting El Dorado. So I'm definitely on the Miners here.
I just think, and I don't want to talk forever about Eldo Sunrise, but I think El Dorado sees this as a game they could win.
Why not? Give this game some love. I like talking about it.
Yeah, but we just don't know many of the pieces, but I like the Sun Devils. That's it. I'm taking them. I may be wrong. I may be right.
Yeah, no, it should be a good game. I agree. You can make a strong case on both sides, but I am going with Sunrise. A team we may have really slept on that I think is going to be better, at least than I expected, and it seemed like you had come around by last week, but I know you were down on them earlier. Mojave shut out Del Sol 36-0 in week one. They go to Legacy, who had their own blowout. Could this game be interesting?
I mean, I just think Legacy is so much bigger and stronger and more seasoned. I mean, forget about that Legacy's a 4A school and they just have more bodies, and Mojave's a 3A school. Legacy's kids are more experienced and better. But I will tell you this, the Kiwi Walker kid,
Tawi,
he's a real deal, bro.
Yeah, I just thought maybe he'd be the only guy on that team, but I think I was wrong based on week one.
Could he DJ Pumphrey and just totally change the course of the game by himself? I just think Legacy is so much bigger than Mojave and better organized than Mojave. You know, I think Ice is going to be able to throw the rock around on those guys pretty good. And, I mean, yeah, they're going to probably let some long runs go. I think the game's going to be close, but I think Legacy pulls away. I don't want to go too far offend Mojave or offend Legacy, but I think Mojave's got a really good player that's going to give Mojave fits, but I think Legacy is bigger and stronger and all that other stuff, and their scheme's probably a little better. I got the Longhorns into the story, but I think it's going to be close. I think Mojave covers.
I'll be stubborn, and I will quit my stubbornness if I'm wrong again this week, but I'm saying Legacy big here. Not sold on Mojave. Yeah, I still think – I mean, Legacy, I think this is maybe their best team. The Valenzuela kid at quarterback had a great first week. I like Legacy. I'm going Legacy big. I'm pretty stunned by your pick here. Pahrump Valley at Chaparral. I thought you'd be basking in Chaparral's win, so excited. Now you got them in a clawed-out victory against Pahrump Valley. Super close game, and it's not even at Pahrump Valley.
Yeah, here's the deal. Chap is just – it's going to take a while to get, you know, the vintage Cadillac in the Chaparral garage revved up. And they're just not – they're not the Chap that went to back-to-back state semis. They got a big gaping hole at quarterback, and while they have some athletes, and I think they're going to beat Pahrump, it's not like take the field and, you know, get the band playing the fight song. It's going to, you know, before we hear dun 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 dun, it's going to take a while.
All right, I think Chaparral big here too. I guess I'm just picking all blowouts this week. Not a blowout here, but welcome to a winning streak, Western. They are going to Boulder City, so that could be another road fraught with peril, to use my phrase of the day. But I got to think Western wins this game.
I do, too. I think, you know, they're pretty evenly matched. Boulder City with a great 33-32 win over Clark last week to kind of break a losing streak there. And I think Clark, Western, and Boulder are pretty evenly matched. And I think Western, with the momentum from that dub, they're going to get it done in Boulder. I worry both teams, you know, maybe feeling a little too satisfied with getting that opening night win after such horrible seasons last year that, you know, maybe there's a W hangover, if you will.
Yeah, I could see that. I would not be stunned with whatever happens in this game, but we're both on Western. Next game, I want to say that I am so happy we found a place on our all-city team for Virgin Valley's Jaden Perkins. I mean, you want to talk about a kid that means so much to his team. Virgin Valley had the best year in forever last year, a lot because of him. He was the MVP, and it seems like he's going to be even better this year. He had 296 yards in beating another out-of-state opponent. This is one we didn't mention. They beat Canyon View 31-12 on Friday. I think I wish we could heap even more praise on Yori Ludvigsen and the way he's really gotten this Virgin Valley team producing at a new level, and I think the Perkins kid is really special, and I think he's going to probably have even more than 296 yards this week when Virgin goes up to Clark.
Can't disagree with anything you said. We'd be wasting breath if we talked more about it.
All right, Virgin
the kid's
Valley.
A real deal, bro. They playing Clark, W.
For sure. Del Sol at Cimarron. Don't think there's going to be much to say about this one.
Cimarron, roll. I love that new coach over there, by the way. He's entertaining.
You talk to him on Friday?
Oh, God. Bro, they were fired up.
Yeah?
I mean, they were fired up. When you get a dub in an opening week against a school that has a lot more than you do in terms of just money,
resources,
and kids and resources, and they come into your yard and you slap them around for a little bit, whew, God, good day to be a Spartan.
It feels right when Cimarron is doing good things because they were a power for a long time, and I'm glad to see them getting back on track. I think they win this game as well. Last game saved maybe the best for last. I'm kind of torn on this game.
No,
talk
you're
me
not.
Through it.
No, you're not.
Put Hill at Powell. Well,
bro, you just
I'll
you
tell
were
you why.
Calling me Friday. How much fun?
Yeah, I know.
You like them.
Yeah. Well, here's why I kind of switched. Is maybe it was that little monologue I gave earlier about Paolo's defense. Is I just feel like, okay, Foothill looked phenomenal, but what do we say ever? We have actually said it this year, the podcast. Sometimes be the latest we've ever said it. don't react to 1 week.
You've got to wait a while.
Foothill looks so, so good. I know they're so, so good, but I got to think it doesn't go as smoothly. They're not going to run for a 70-yard touchdown on the first play of the game and then score again on their first play of the third drive of the game. Palo's defense is a little bit better. I could see this being low scoring and being a game where anyone could take it at the end, the more I think about it. You don't, though.
Who you picking?
I'm going to take Foothill. I was so impressed with Foothill. I think Palo might have had the second most impressive performance among those close games, but I saw Foothill's, and I think theirs has to be the first. Which, yeah, by the way, as an aside, we explain this every year, too. We all try to go to a game Friday, watch closely, take all the stats.
Oh, yeah.
But we rely on the coaches for everything else. So we love the coaches. Everyone was great week one, but we call them, try to get stuff from them. So we don't have details of all 20 games.
Yeah, we can't be at all 20 games. We're talking to coaches at PT's Pubs, basically, when they're getting a little soda after the game, right?
For sure. So we love all the coaches, love talking to them Friday. But like I said, some of the games are going to be more in-depth than others because we can't be everywhere.
And I got Foothill because Brad Talich is the D coordinator, and they didn't give up a bucket last week. So
you're kind of talking trash to me. You only have it 20-10. You had a somewhat close game.
Well, I mean, I respect what Paolo did.
Yeah,
I mean, this is Paolo, bro.
I'm with you. I think this is going to be low scoring, and I just think the one thing maybe where you could say Foothill is going to be –
and this game is at Paolo?
It's at Paolo.
Ooh.
So you can make a case and be at Paolo. I think the case for Foothill is – I heard they had like four defensive starters kind of had lingering injuries, and they held them out in the first game.
Including
Jared Abels, who I talked to, and was supposed to be like the star of their team.
He had 188 tackles or whatever last year.
He's supposed to be back this week. I think some of the other kids are supposed to be back. So, and I was just so impressed with Foothill, I can't go against them. It hurts me because I'm kind of driving this Paolo bandwagon. I feel like they're rallying around me over there, but I can't pick them this week. I'm going with the Southeast Foothill.
I agree.
All right, well, that does it for Prep Sports Now, week two. Thanks a lot for listening. We'll be back next week.